Good morning.
Good morning.
I picked a hot topic for today. It's not sex at all. It's the issue of anger, which comes up frequently in spiritual practice. So I thought I would say a few words about this emotion, but in the context of the precepts. The Buddhist precepts have been described as one of the most vital areas of practice for students, regardless of whether they practice as lay practitioners or intend to take the vows of a monastic. Further, the precepts are often referred to as the definition of the life of a Buddha, of how a Buddha functions in the world. They are the way enlightened beings live their lives, relate to other human beings and the planet, and make moral and ethical decisions in a connected and compassionate way. Now, in our lineage, there are the 16 Bodhisattva precepts. I'm just going to go through these quickly. The three treasures, which is, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, and I take refuge in the Sangha. And then there are the three pure precepts, not creating evil, practicing good, actualizing good for others. And then the ones that I think are the most familiar to most people are the 10 grave precepts. Now, they're worded differently depending upon the lineage and where you're at, but the way that we say this in the White Plum lineage are as follows. Affirm life, do not kill. Be giving, do not steal. Honor the body, do not misuse sexuality. Manifest truth, do not lie. 5 is to proceed clearly, do not cloud the mind. 6, see the perfection, do not speak of others' errors and faults. 7, realize self and other as one, do not elevate the self and blame others. 8, give generously, do not be withholding. 9, which is the one we're going to talk about today, actualize harmony, do not be angry. And 10, experience the intimacy of things, do not defile the three treasures. Now, the talk that I'm going to give is not by any stretch of the imagination meant to be the final word. The precepts are very much alive and really, in a certain sense, relative to a particular context, a particular time and place, how we work with them. And I just wanted to say a few words generally about them. So the 9th precept states, actualize harmony. Do not be angry. Now, there's a danger in taking the precepts too literally. Do not be angry, right? Do not be angry. To me, maybe this is partly as a therapist, but to me, anger is a normal human emotion, a normal human emotional response, and frequently it's appropriate. The challenge is to understand our anger and to use its energy in a constructive way. So how is this possible? Well, first, I think we need to really get to know our anger and to see if our anger causes us to fall into separation from others or from the world. A child rushes into the street, risking their life. We may get angry at that child. Usually, the expression of anger in that particular context is from a place of connection, a place of being protective, a place of caring about that child. But the challenge is, how do we use that energy? Do we scream and berate the child for his or her transgression, which is dropping into a place of separation? Or do we try to impress upon the child how dangerous what they have done is in a compassionate, firm, and instructive way, which is really from a place of connection? I remember once talking with a friend, and this is really, I remembered this, what was the impetus for giving this talk, who was really upset with herself, really filled with shame, because she had gotten really angry at her husband, screamed at her husband. And the reason for this was that he had continued to ignore her emotionally, in spite of several heartfelt attempts on her part to reach out for more connection with him, So her being angry seemed like an appropriate emotional response under the circumstances, especially since all she had done was to yell at him, saying that he was treating her as if he didn't care. And so I asked her, "Why are you being so hard on yourself?" And she responded, "I failed my commitment to live my life according to the precepts." So she was using the precepts as a way of shaming herself, as a way of denigrating herself. To me, this is a misunderstanding of the intention of the precept, "Do not be angry." I don't understand it in such a literal way, in a way that lacks so little compassion for oneself. It's human to get angry. The challenge is not to allow the emotion to cause us to feel separate. This is when anger can become harmful. If I'm angry with you, and I'm not in a place where you're me, then I can justify all sorts of harshness. In fact, this is how wars start. They're not us. So we can justify all sorts of behavior when we fall into that non-connected place. Now, it's subtle, because there is a difference between the spiritual connection that we talk about all the time in our practice and actual physical connection. If this husband was physically abusing his wife and she physically disconnected from him and created a separation, well, of course, that's common sense. But that's not the same thing as being spiritually disconnected. The challenge is, in the process of making yourself safe, can you also have compassion on how sick a person must be to be physically violent like that? And that's a tough one, you know, especially if it's happening to you. It's easier to watch it happening to somebody else. But when we're involved in the situation ourselves personally, it's very, very challenging to do that. The precepts also are often stated, you know, in these terms as do not lie, do not steal, do not get angry, sounding as if it were absolute. But regardless of how one chooses to state the precepts, it's important that they are not chains, that they're not just a list of do's and don'ts, which can result in judgmental, self-righteous, and rigid behavior. In fact, the precepts are really about generosity, about gratitude, about respect, because they are grounded in this fundamental interconnectedness. How do I function in this situation from a place of connection? Well, sometimes, this is literally true, when I find myself angry, from working with anger, I know that when I am angry in a certain way, not just annoyed, but really pissed off, if you pardon the expression, that I can say harmful things. So I literally have trained myself to take a time out, to just walk away, go in a corner somewhere, and just be with my anger, and try to understand what is it that's happening in this particular moment that has gotten me so upset. And one of the ways that we can relate to our anger is that it's a warning. It's warning us to pay attention, to look and to listen. And so to take a time out, to step away, if it's possible, out of the situation and turn inward and try to pay attention to our anger, to see what is it there to teach us. The precepts are also a reminder to still our minds and not to engage life in our typical, habitual, unconscious way. You know, there's this boo jump thing that can take place. And, you know, we have these issues that are unconscious or we're not fully aware of. So, you know we have an issue about people that, you know, people should show up on time. That's what my father taught me. People should show up on time. So we get pissed off if they don't show up on time. But it's a boo jump. You know, there's nothing in between. So that's something that we really need to look at, sit with, and be with. Now, the practice of sitting is one way to regularly and naturally make us less reactive, both physically and mentally. Just sitting is a way to calm down the body and still the mind. It is, however, not a 100% solution. So another way, as I've been talking about, would be to really get to know our anger. And this requires turning away from all our stories, all our justifications about why we can, it's okay to be angry, and instead become curious about the anger that is residing in us at any given time. Notice where in our bodies we feel the anger. What does it feel like to be angry? Does it stay the same? Does it change as we sit with it? Does the anger that arises in a particular situation subside quickly, or do we carry it around with us for days? We can also bring our attention to what thoughts we were having right before we became angry. Did these thoughts provoke the anger? Another thing which is might sound a little unusual, but can be very helpful, particularly with chronic anger. When we're in the midst of a flash of anger, if you remember to do it, ask yourself, how old am I right now when I'm this angry? And sometimes a number will just jump into your head, maybe 5, 6 years old, 10 years old, teenager. That number, that age, will give us a clue that the anger has its origin in our childhood. And so we could ask ourselves, what was going on in my childhood when I was 10 years old, when I was 5 years old? Now, example of this would be, one of the places that I would get angry the most frequently was driving. And I made it a practice to pay attention to this. Like, what was there about this? Because, I mean, generally, I think most people think of me as a pretty easygoing guy, but I could really get pissed at people when I'm driving. I'd be driving, you know, say here on the parkway, and there'd be somebody right on my ass, you know, really right behind me, you know. And I could feel this, phew, and I won't share with you the language that is repeated in my head, but what I'm saying to myself about this person, or if somebody cuts me off, or it's basically inconsideration. And in sitting with it, what I discovered was that what I was feeling was pushed around. And so I sat with that, pushed around. And I asked myself, well, how old am I when I'm feeling pushed around? The age that came to me was the age of 8. So I said, well, what was going on when I was 8? And I just sat with it, you know, 8 years old. And I realized that my father could be quite a bully. You know, he used force a lot to get what he, how he wanted, how he would want me to behave. And that produced in me a certain feeling in my body. Part of it was resistance, but part of it was fear. And that same feeling was provoked when I was driving my car. Here I am, you know, in my 60s, and I'm, you know, like that. And then I also paid attention to, okay, so what was I thinking? And I really, you know, I sat with this and I tried to be as quiet as I could, and I realized that when this happens, what I'm thinking is, I'm not going to let you push me around. So this became my work to do. And so I'm happy to report that I'm not totally healed, but I am getting less reactive driving in the car, because I see that this is really a childhood trauma of sorts, you know, by being pushed around, bossed around, yelled at, screamed at by my father, that I carried with me. So that would be an example of a way to, you know, it's easy to say working with your anger, but that would be an example of how to do it. So through this process of self-exploration, several things can happen. We can discover that exploring the emotion and not suppressing it actually can be freeing. We can discover that it's possible to be compassionate towards ourselves, which was another thing that I was able to do. I would feel this incredible shame. My God, you're a Zen teacher and you're still getting pissed off when you're driving your car. You know, this crazy expectation, you know, that we create in our minds. So I'm able to become more compassionate toward myself and understand that where the seeds of this and where it comes from. And the last point, which is what I just said, is that we can also discover that the seeds of a lot of our anger have nothing to do with the actual situation, but go back to an earlier time in our life. So the working with an emotion like this can lead us to an interesting intersection between mental health and spiritual health. That our spiritual practice may give us the stability to work with deep-seated emotions and issues, and doing our emotional work can allow us the freedom to surrender to our spiritual practice. So they sort of support each other. And this calls for an interface between doing spiritual practice and psychotherapeutic practice. But it's important to understand the difference. The spiritual practice is grounded in spiritual insight, and the psychological practice is grounded in psychological insight. And one of the great misunderstandings, I think, that takes place from people that get involved in spiritual practices is that if I sit hard enough, deep enough, and have multiple insights, all of my emotional baggage will be erased and I'll be fine. And that's a delusion on a grand order. Spiritual practice can certainly help us be more stable to do the emotional work, but it's not an eraser. Now, I was going to do this, but I don't, in the interest of time, I don't think I'm going to do it. You might find this interesting, though. Pat Enke O'Hara from the Village Zendo does a group exercise when she works and talks with anger. It's totally voluntary. But she goes around the room and she asks each person, how would you express your anger if you could really let it loose? No inhibition. How would you express your anger if you could really let it loose? Now, you don't do it, but you say it. And she recounts that one person in the group made reference to the character in the movie Dr. Strangelove. I don't know how many people of you have seen that movie. There's a point in which this guy rides a bomb which is falling from a plane that's going to destroy the earth. You know, so that was an expression of the depth of this woman's anger. And so the guidelines for setting up the activity are to create a safe place that we don't judge each other, that we're just creating a container for each person to express the depth, you know, really the depth of their anger, and for each person to find a way of describing how they would express it. And then, after this is over, she does this, the end of the group process is to ask people, after they do this together in a group, how they feel. And the interesting thing is, I guess, is that the general consensus is there's a feeling of relief, feeling lighter. Some people describe themselves as glowing. Other people talked about less physical tension. And they also said they got into contact with softer emotions, which were masked by the anger, such as sadness, grief, longing, love. So it sounded interesting to me. So I guess the ultimate point, though, that I want to make is that anger, I don't think, my own opinion, my own personal opinion, is not unspiritual, that it's normal. It's just a part of being human. But at the same time, it is a very powerful energy which must be dealt with because it can create a separation and create a lot of suffering for ourselves and for others. So, thank you.